First and Now is the official BC Lions podcast for the first time in 2023. Matt Baker, Nick Kowalski. Nick, how are you?
Feeling refreshed, ready to go for the new year.
Feeling refreshed, hey? Yeah. It was kind of one of those years, a great year, rewarding year, fun year in terms of football and producing content. But yeah, it was kind of nice to kick back and just chill out over the holidays for a couple of weeks, recharge the batteries, as they say. I myself didn't do a whole lot. A lot of family time, holiday time, always rewarding, especially with a young family, little one. It's fun seeing the little toddlers really get excited about Christmas. Kind of brings back those memories. And yeah, Santa was good to us all. I'm sure you too. You had a white Christmas, did you not? You went home to Winnipeg.
Yes. Very different.
Very different, yeah. Well, it's funny. We're broadcasting inside the Wall Center on Burrard Street and on kind of a rainy, gloomy, dark Vancouver day. It's kind of been like that since the snow melted here. We had one of those quote-unquote snowmageddons. I think you were gone already.
I caught the very beginning. Yeah.
But now they're like literally a week after that happened, there was no evidence to suggest it ever happened. It got gloomy real quick. But yeah, we're driving down here today. Yeah, it's Vancouver weather. And there we go.
Well, I've brought it up before that the weather here is one of the most shocking things, and especially the winter weather to me. I did not expect there to be no snow. I've never been used to that.
Yeah, if it's what you grew up with, yeah, how do you adjust?
Yeah. Yeah, you go home for the winter, you're at home for Christmas, and it's minus 10 is a beautiful day, and the streets are still covered in snow. It probably is snowing. So to have the rain in December and January, it's still almost bizarre for me.
Yeah. Well, you're almost a full-fledged Vancouverite, pretty much a year since you first...
Sunday was 1 year.
...migrated out. There you go. Happy anniversary.
Why, yeah. Thank you.
Happy anniversary. Yeah, you helped deliver some wins. You must have been the good luck charm. And looking to take the next step, as we record this on a Tuesday, we are exactly 4 weeks from free agency. Man, the off-season grind going to pick up real well here. But happy to be back here in the Wall Center doing First and Now. A shout out to Go Goat Sports, our pals Sakaris and Price and Rinkwide and Ray and Dregs. Find those all under the umbrella of podcasts along with First and Now. Solid guys to be aligned with. But we're going to be back doing this every week like we were before, likely recording on Tuesday. Who knows? If there's some big news dropping, maybe we do a special recording when we need to. And of course, free agency falls on a Tuesday, so that week might be a little bit different. But we're excited to be pushing out more content, going to be bigger and better in 2023. Arrow up the wrap, recapping that great year every Tuesday. We got one more next week, I believe, right? November.
We got two more. We're splitting them up for the playoff games.
Okay. Yeah, those playoff games are kind of worth their own. So, very much. And Arrow Up will continue. There will be another season of that. Stay tuned. But we have to kick off this podcast, our debut for the year. Really, we have to talk about the big news of the day, big news of the week. We kind of had a feeling it was coming. Nathan Rourke, a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars. We had his little farewell media event early this morning. Was a good crowd for that, and good for Nathan. We knew it was coming, but hey, like last year's Arrow Up started with a passing of the torch from Mike Riley to Nathan Rourke, I think we're going to have to feature another sort of passing of the torch, even though Vernon Adams was here for half of last season. But Vernon Adams Jr., the keys are officially his, and Nathan Rourke, a Jacksonville Jaguar, kind of bittersweet, I would say.
Very, yeah. Obviously, first and foremost, congratulations to Nathan. It's very well deserved, and it seems like he's going to get a legitimate shot to be the second string quarterback next season, which is a pretty awesome feat if he does accomplish that, considering it's behind a first overall pick in Trevor Lawrence that, who knows, maybe one day he can get some reps.
Yeah.
And you never know what's going to happen in the NFL, and Nathan alluded to that today with injuries and all that, but... Yeah, it's very well deserved, and I'm happy to see Coach Campbell and the team put their faith in Vernon Adams Jr. I mean, he goes 4-2 last year while coming into a brand new offense, and now he has a full offseason where the team's putting their faith in him, and his skill set is meant for this league, and I think with the right coaches that we've proven to have, There can be some special things expected again with this offense with Vernon.
And that's the key. You say the coaches. So he and the staff, they're already in constant contact. Jordan Maksimek, the offensive coordinator, they're going to build an offense catered around Vernon Adams Jr. And, you know, Vernon came in here. The offense was kind of built around Nathan Rourke's strengths. But, four and two as a starter. The Lions don't hang on to second place and host a playoff game against Calgary without Vernon Adams Jr. That's the bottom line. That's no disrespect intended at a Michael O'Connor or an Antonio Pipkin or whoever they might have tried to bring in here on the open market midway through the season. Talk about a lifeline. Definitely worth trading a first-round pick this year. And, you know, Vernon Adams Jr. is a guy that this organization has had their eyes on for a long time. Was originally a property of the Lions traded his negotiating rights in 2016 to Montreal when Jonathan Jennings and Travis Lule were still here. So, yeah, definitely bittersweet, and definitely that's going to be a cool thing to follow if you're an NFL fan, a casual NFL observer. You know, we're going to be checking for updates from Jags mini camp starting in the spring and main camp in August and the final roster cuts. Not saying he gets cut, but those are things we're going to be following just because we want to see how this kid does, right? And we'd love it if he was here for another season and aiming toward taking that final step toward a Grey Cup, but he has very much earned this opportunity. And people are wondering, you know, we've seen all kinds of reaction, mostly positive, but one of the number one things I've seen is, why would he go somewhere that has a guy like Trevor Lawrence? And unfortunately, at this point, he's competing for a number two spot. So
off the get-go, yeah.
He can earn his way into a number two spot. I don't know. Did they design packages for him? Unfortunately, it's a possibility if Trevor Lawrence goes down and they have a viable option. You're all of a sudden you're auditioning for other teams down there. So,
yeah. Well, how many quarterbacks started games this year in the NFL?
And that's the funny thing. You look at the list of them too, right? Like, would you have predicted Brock Purdy and Geno Smith facing each other in a playoff game? Yeah, Joe Flacco.
The list goes on.
Ritter. How do you say his name in Atlanta? So, but what I'm getting at here is 3-year contract for Nathan. When it's time for his next contract, if all goes well, wouldn't doubt him. Maybe he's in a position to be on the market or a trade chip for a guy. Maybe a team may be looking for a starter or a 1-1A situation. It's all it's a progression. He's 24 years old, and he feels now is the time for him to do this. And so that's kind of just clearing some air. Some people wondering, why would you go to a place that is established? But just watch him. Just watch and see how he does.
Well, we've all learned up in Canada not to ever doubt what he can accomplish. I mean, just a special, special talent in itself. So I fully expect him to seize this opportunity. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's taking reps in the NFL on Sundays in the near future, wherever that may be. Hopefully, like you said, you never know what's going to happen with Lawrence and all of that. But I've learned not to doubt this guy. He's proven to exceed expectations time and time and again.
Absolutely. So Nathan Rourke is a Jaguar. Vernon Adams Jr. will be the number one guy going into camp. And yeah, just kind of seeing Vernon in that environment in Kamloops from day one, he'll be a big part of obviously the offense and a big part of the leadership group. And I've said this time and time and again on this podcast, he came in midseason. It's never easy to command the immediate respect of the locker room. That's what Vernon Adams Jr. did. We're going to talk to Vernon here in just a few minutes, and we've put it out there. We've taken some questions. We're going to be a little more interactive from here on in. That's the plan anyway. Going to take listener questions every week. We've got a couple good ones for Vernon, so you'll want to stick around for that. You have a question you want us to answer perhaps on the next episode, hit us up at BakesTakes84. He is at Nick_Kowalski. The podcast is at First and Now, of course, across all platforms at BC Lions. Any questions, we'll file them away and get to them perhaps as soon as next week. But it's a very exciting time, not only in the Canadian Football League as we kind of slowly we're inching toward the goal line to the end of sort of the quote-unquote dead part of the offseason. It's going to pick up here. Lions getting some work done, in fact. And if you're an early listener to this podcast on Wednesday morning, you'll be finding out that David Mackey is sticking around. Speaking of solid leadership, 2-year extension for David Mackey just getting announced this morning. So again, as much as we're talking about another change at quarterback, the most important position, continuity is going to be a big part of this. And David Mackey is one of those guys who really took steps on the field last year.
Oh, of course, yeah. And he's a very well-liked guy in the locker room. We've seen in the years past where with the whole ratio thing, he's been able to come in as a Canadian running back if need mm-hmm. be, too. He had I think he almost had 100 yards against the Argos last year in that one half where James Butler went down. But yeah, he's a good blocker too, very well liked in the locker room. So it's an important guy to have back. Maybe not a household name for the average CFL fan, but he's definitely an important part of this BC Lions team. And more signings should be coming rolling in too now, especially with the Nathan Rourke news and decision all settled. This opens up GM Neil McAvoy and Rick Campbell. It opens up their plan now for free agency and for re-signing even before that too. So hopefully more news to come.
Yeah, still some big names out there. We shall see a couple big pieces in the secondary. TJ Lee, Gary Peters, couple of offensive linemen, namely Sook Chung, Joel Figueroa, just to name a couple. But Mackey, I was exchanging some texts with David. He's jacked up. Remember how trying it was last season? Remember all that stuff with the PA and the strike and how kind of eerie it felt up there in Kamloops for a few weeks? Okay, we've got a settlement. Okay, we don't. And it was kind of a few days of just kind of waiting around for things to happen. David was right in the middle of that, keeping his teammates informed, telling them, no matter what way you vote, you have to vote because we want to pass this thing. We want to get back to playing football. And I know that was a little antsy for guys like him and Tanner Dahl, Andrew Pearson, who were also alternate reps for the PA. And this is a guy, he's 28 years old and is going into his fifth season, but he's already a captain. He's already a player rep, and he's a guy players look up to in that locker room. So
well involved in the community as well.
Big time. Yeah, he was out the downtown east side helping serve meals and just everything that epitomizes what a great Canadian Football League player is and should be. All right, speaking of great guys, again, we've got one coming up. Lions starting quarterback Vernon Adams Jr. On the Nathan Rourke news, on getting the keys from day one, and he'll answer a few of your listener questions here on First and Now, coming up. Vernon Adams Jr. is with us now at his home in Tacoma. Is it Tacoma, Federal Way? Where exactly are you, VA?
T-Town, man. Yes, sir. Tacoma.
Tacoma. So home of the... what's Tacoma famous for? Other than Vernon Adams Jr., there's the Tacoma Dome.
That's pretty much it. It's the Tacoma Dome. They got the minor league baseball team. Or not minor league, probably like AAA, I think. Tacoma Rainiers, yep. But yeah, that's about it.
Cheney Stadium, right? They still playing at that old ballpark?
Yep. Yes, sir. Yes, they are.
I made my way there once on a baseball road trip years and years ago. Pretty much took I-5 all the way down to Sacramento, and yeah, that's a long. That's there. There's my connection to Tacoma right there.
There you
Vernon.
Go.
But so there you go. You're in Pierce County. I know the name of your county. See, I like to do my research on Washington State counties.
You good?
Fun fact about me for when Rick Campbell asks for one in Kamloops. So be prepared. Anyway, just talk about these last couple days for you. I mean, Nick and I kind of hit on this off the top in our intro, but you know, I think we kind of saw this coming for the last little while. You'd have to be naive to think it wasn't going to go down this way, but. First off, your thoughts on Mr. Rourke and the opportunity he's afforded himself in Jacksonville.
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm super happy for Nate, man. He deserves it all, man. Everything that's coming to him. I said it yesterday in the interview, but just the way he was playing last year, man, as a Canadian quarterback, man, it's just amazing. Hasn't been done in a while. I don't think really ever. I'm not sure, but he was just on his way to really – destroy every record, you know. So the NFL interest that was there, man, he deserved all that. I'm happy for him. Obviously, I'm happy for me, you know, either way, I was going to work hard and come into this season, you know, ready to work hard and push whoever is in the quarterback room, you know. And so it looks like this works out for all parties, for him, for myself. And I'm not saying I just got the job like that. There's going to be competition, you know what I'm saying, in camp and stuff. And I'm excited for it. I'm just excited to go out there and have some fun.
What's your conversations been like lately with some of the guys, most notably the receivers? I mean, what have those conversations been?
Yeah, you know, they all congratulate me, and they're just saying, hey, let's go. It's go time. You got the weapons. You don't got to do too much. Don't be too crazy. You know, just have fun. Get us the ball, and let's do it. They say it's big play VA time, and it is, man.
How much will you truly benefit from, you know, talking to Jordan Maksimek day to day? We've mentioned your conversations with the players and really getting an offense kind of more built to your strengths. And you'll be there in Kamloops from day one of camp. I mean, you have lots of time to prepare here compared to when you first came in middle of last season, right? I mean, that has to be extra beneficial.
Yeah, definitely beneficial to get this full off season of Zoom meetings with Coach Jordan Maksimek, and you know, just get the small details from day one. You know, when I came in, it was kind of like I had a bunch of questions, and some of the coaches were just like, "Hey, we don't got time to learn that. Just learn these plays, learn the concepts, and let's go. You're gonna be all right. You're gonna learn it on the fly." And that's kind of what I did. And but now I get to really break down everything and see why they call this play and things like that, you know. And so I'm excited to dive into that. I talked to Jordan a couple days ago when the announcement came out, and we're going to get started on Zoom meetings soon with the QBs. And I'm just very excited, man. I'm excited to get going with that.
What about the confidence that you have right now, too? I mean, last season you go in learning this new offense, but you go into Calgary on, what was it, 4 practices with the ones, and you go in and win there, and now you've seen on social media Coach Rick put out the statement that they're ready to move ahead with you, and they named you specifically. So what kind of confidence are you dealing with right now?
Man, the confidence that I'm dealing with right now is shooting. It's on a rise right now, man. You never want to peak too early and get overconfident, but I've never felt this love from this an organization in the last, you know, couple years. You know, in 19 in Montreal was my last time I really felt it. You know, the last couple years have been a little different, but you know, the players, you know, some of you guys, coaches, you know, everyone's just saying, let's go, VA, let's do it. Like, we know you can do it. Come in, have some fun, and let's win games. And so just feeling that love from everybody is really motivating me even more to continue to step it up a notch in my offseason workouts, my film study, and just everything that's coming with it.
Mm-hmm. And then you brought up that 2019 season you had with Montreal, and Matt and I were actually, before the show, we were looking at your stats from that year, and it was, what, 4,500 total yards, 35 touchdowns combined. Like, those are top of the CFL numbers, so that, like, you got to be excited, too, to get hopefully back to that, to those numbers and that potential this season.
Oh, yeah, man, especially with the weapons we have here, man. Man, if I don't do that, I'm going to retire. But, I'm excited, man. I'm really excited, man, because I know with a full 18, a full camp, and just chemistry with guys on and off the field, I think it's going to help a lot, you know, going into game one. And I'm just very excited about it. Mm-hmm.
And then the locker room, too. I mean, we've seen it these past couple of seasons with Winnipeg, the continuity, the culture they've built. It's proven to be a winning formula. But I think it's out there now that this BC locker room is pretty special, too. So I even want to go back to, like, September when you came here. What were those first kind of couple interactions you had with this locker room, and when did you realize that it was this tight-knit group?
First of all, this is the funniest locker room I've ever been a part of. So when the fans, when you guys see, like, just guys laughing all the time and joking together and having fun, touchdown celebrations, like, all that is real, man. It's real, and that's hard to find, you know what I'm saying? When you find a group so tight, that's why we made it so far, you know what I'm saying? Because guys know that they can trust you on and off the field, and you know, you hang out with guys off the field and you gain that trust on the field. It's just you having fun together, you winning games together, man. This locker room was like the best overall team I've ever been on. That 2022 team, that was the best overall team I've ever been on. And it just sucked when we came up 8 points short, you know what I'm saying, in the semifinal game or in the final game. And so, but hey, we're going to work hard this offseason to get over that hump.
Are we going to see you getting in on the touchdown celebrations this year? I know Nathan didn't really do so much, but are we going to see you dancing with the receivers in the end zone?
Yeah, you might see me in a couple of them. You know, some of them are a little crazy what they be doing out there. But, yeah, you're going to see me get some because, man, that's how I get going, me by having fun. You know what I'm saying? I can't play anybody else's game. I can't pretend I'm someone else. You know, my game is big plays, efficiency, having fun. And when I'm having fun, I'm literally playing at my best. So, yeah, I'll be having some fun. Not getting out of character, but having fun this year.
Yeah, before you know it, you'll be inviting Lucky Whitehead to Tacoma. You'll be practicing your military crawls. You've been following Lucky's antics here. You go to Lucky's Instagram. He's like eating protein powder every day. You seen that, VA? That's dude, just Lucky being Lucky, right?
He is the funniest dude like ever, and he has such a good energy, man. Like, just when I go to his page, I'm not gonna lie, I've done it a couple times with the protein powder, the pre workout.
Right.
I don't do as much as most guys do. They be doing the whole thing. I just do like a little quarter, and then that really gets you going. You know what I'm saying? So I know his feeling when he's doing this thing and dancing. So, but man, dude's an entertaining dude, and man, can't wait to go crazy with him this year.
Yeah, number 7 should be in fine form from day one, like he always is. I mean, you know, we're talking about your current situation, a little bit about Montreal, and hey, I remember. You were a BC Lions property back in 2016. We've talked a lot about that history, but you know, you scan your football bio, it's quite interesting. The football world truly is small, Vernon. And before you go to Oregon for your senior year, of course, you exploded on the scene at Eastern Washington there, the red turf, I believe. But you're still very close with Cooper Kupp. What was that like playing there with a bunch of those guys who have gone on to great things as professionals?
Yeah, man. Coming from Eastern Washington, we had a few guys go NFL. Cooper Kupp, Kendrick Bourne with the Patriots right now, Simba Webster with the Chicago Bears, a few other guys, man. But playing with Coop, man, from day one, I was a redshirt freshman, and he was coming in the redshirt. And he was a little guy, man. He was about 170, but his work ethic was like no one else's. Like, it was like the red shirt senior's work ethic. And, like, he was getting ready to go to NFL already. And he just put on his weight that whole year. And just seeing him work, man, during practice, if he ever lost a one-on-one rep or anything like that, he lined it right back up and told the DB and the quarterback, hey, we're doing the same route. Come on. And then he would win the route. Like, you know, like, he just didn't want to lose. And just great dude, man, Christian dude. Husband, father, man, and yeah, man, he was a pro before, you know, a lot of the guys were pros on that team already.
Yeah, it's remarkable when you look at a lot of those guys coming through there. I mean, we haven't even talked about Bo Levi and a couple of your current teammates, TJ Lee, just a prime example of how that program has done very well at developing players. Grew up in Inglewood, California, was it, VA?
Pasadena.
Yeah. Yes, it still had Cooper Kupp on my mind. Los Angeles Rams, of course, play in Inglewood. But Pasadena, growing up as a kid, who were some of the people you looked up to the most and kind of helped you develop as a person?
Yeah, man. I would say the main quarterback in my area I looked up to, his name is Lance Mitchell. He played quarterback for John Muir High School, went on to Oregon State University and played DB, switched position to DB, and then now he's the head coach back at John Muir High School. But he was a quarterback and a free safety growing up, but he always did the right thing. He looked out after me, and, you know, he showed me the way a little bit. And he was just a guy that I looked up to as another athletic, mobile quarterback, but still trying to do the right things in the, you know, the neighborhood that we grew up in. So, you know, picking the right decisions at the right time.
VA, something I noticed this past season with you on the sidelines and even in practices and everything was your style of leadership. It's very vocal. You're a very encouraging teammate on the sidelines, whether it's the offense, the defense, and even over the playoff run, when Nathan was back, you were still talking to the defense, getting them amped up, talking to the receivers, getting them amped up, all that. Is that something you've always had throughout your career? Or is that something you developed growing up, or where did that style of leadership come from?
Yeah, man, I think that's just always been with me, man. I'm a natural leader, and whether I'm starting or not, you know, I want to help the team however I can. And, you know, I try to tell guys my biggest thing is keep your composure. You know, I know things happen and guys start, you know, yelling and fussing and stuff like that. But then you start fussing with each other on the sideline, and then your mind's off the game. Now your mind's on this fight. Now we're 7 plays down and you're still thinking about this. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to get guys to, hey, let's stay together, come together. We'll watch the film after and we'll talk about it. But right now, let's keep our composure. Let's have fun, man. Let's play our game, you know, because when the BC Lions have fun and they play at their best ability, like, no one, I don't think, it's only a couple teams that could hang with us, you know what I'm saying? And I seen that when I was in Montreal watching BC early in the year. Like, man, these guys is out there having fun and nobody can do nothing with them, you know what I'm saying? So as long as we do that, man, we keep our composure, we going to be all right. And I'm just going to keep leading the way I'm doing to keep everybody positive and moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And we mentioned that we were looking at your CFL stats earlier before the show. And I was looking at a couple of big milestones on the horizon. You got 10,000 passing yards coming up, 50 touchdowns coming up. But it's year 8 for you now, I believe, in the CFL as a player. I imagine for things left to accomplish, a Grey Cup's probably definitely at the top of that list. What are the things that are motivating you right now?
Definitely. The main thing is wins, man. You win a lot of football games, all those stats and stuff, that stuff's going to come. And that's going to be my biggest goal because, like I said, I've been making big plays happen for a long time, you know what I'm saying? And it's still in me, you know what I'm saying? I scramble, extend the play, and I still got it in me. Now I'm ready to just get these guys the ball as quick as possible, let them do the rest. The big ones will come. But definitely, yeah, a Grey Cup, man, we play this game to be a champion, you know, everyone, you know what I'm saying? And even you guys as well, you guys do the best at what you guys do in the media and stuff because, you know, y'all want to be champions too. So all of this ties in together. You guys, the trainers, the coaches, we all want to be champions, you know what I'm saying? So that is definitely a goal. 14 plus wins, undefeated at home, all are on my list, and beating my career highs for this year. So, starts here.
Yeah, you said it. We are a team, no matter what department we in, all here helping strive for the main goal. Hey, you mentioned the fans, VA. We're gonna get to some. We're gonna get to some listener questions here in just a minute. New thing we're trying. A lot of guys want to hear from you, but I want to go back. The Western semifinal against Calgary at home. You weren't playing, of course, but over 30,000 fans against a rival. It was loud. Some great performances. I mean, I still get goosebumps thinking about that day, VA. How exciting a day was that from your perspective?
Oh, man. The Western semifinal was amazing all together from top down, from marketing, from fans, players. First of all, it was my first time really seeing Nathan play the whole game. You know, he played the week before, but only played a couple series,
right?
You know, and he was just getting his rust off. He came back and he played the full game, and I'm just watching him up close, and I'm like, I literally said to myself, he's a dog. Like he's out there with a half foot and making these throws and just 300 plus yards, you know what I'm saying? A few touchdowns, 2 or 3 touchdowns, I think. And just, man, it was just crazy. You know, then the gray uniforms again, we brought those back out. Fans going crazy, man. It was just the whole shebang. And we got the win, you know, first time hosting at home in years. So that was just, it was fun. It was definitely fun.
Hey, perfect. On that front, the first question we're going to get to is from Twitter. Graham Byatt, regular tweeter to at BC Lions. It was kind of a two-parter. He wants to know, he's asking us, but we're going to hear it from you. Does the squad feel more mean and dangerous in those gunmetal jerseys?
I saw that question. I think it's just something different. Like, Like, when you throw in the gray and the black and you just swag it out, you got the black tights, black cleats, just black gloves, there's just something about it that's, you know, what did Deion Sanders say? You look good, you feel good, you play good. And I think we went undefeated in the gray uniforms last year. So
yes, that's right. 2-0, two big wins. And then he also added, I think this one kind of speaks for himself, for Vernon. What would you consider being a successful season? Gray Cup or bust? I think that's kind of self-explanatory, VA.
Yeah, for me personally, that's what my mind is on. I tell myself, is Gray Cup or bust? Because that's what I'm shooting for. I'm shooting for the highest. That's what we're shooting for. Like I said, we play this game to become champions. Obviously, it's 1 week at a time. Injuries happen, things happen, but as long as we stay together, man, and we keep that goal in mind in the long run, then, you know, it can be done, you know. I don't think that's the truest thing in the world, like, oh, if we don't win the Grey Cup, oh, we suck. Nah, but like I said, that's me personally shooting for that.
Moving along, a Young Judd on Twitter, Young Judd_1, a very, very loyal fan. Vernon, last season it was clear to see that your transition into the locker room was seamless. With some familiar faces like Nathan and Brian Burnham moving on, how excited are you to embrace even more of a leadership role this year?
Yeah, definitely, man. I'm excited to be there from day one, and now I can be more vocal, like, nothing crazy, not your drill sergeant type vocal, but just speaking up, you know, when I know the team needs a leader to speak up and stuff like that. Last year, I came in the middle of the season and I didn't say much like to the team as a whole a lot and stuff. I just talked to groups at times, like you said, on the sideline, because, you know, I just felt like that wasn't my position, you know, to step up and you know, to do that yet, you know. But now I feel me being there from day one, leading on and off the field, then I'll have that right to speak up to my guys and, you know, tell them when it's time to step it up, tell them when we're doing a great job, and just things like that.
From at Cole McGarvey, I like this one, VA. I know you've probably thought about this. What was Vernon's favorite uniform combo from when he played at Oregon? I know there's a few to choose from, probably.
Man, yeah, because we wore a new uniform every single game. But my favorite uniform we wore that year, we were playing against Stanford at Stanford, and we beat them by 2 points, but we had black helmets, our white jerseys, black pants, black tights, black cleats. And like I said, like the question earlier before, like anything with the black in it, it just gives you that. Yeah.
I remember that one. That was a pretty lethal combo. The black helmets. The black helmet's very nice touch. Over to Instagram here for one final one, at mbooth83. I know VA has worked out with his receivers in the offseason in the past. Do you plan to do the same now that you're the 2023 starter in BC and your proximity to the Surrey training facility?
Yes, sir. Yes, I do plan on doing another mini camp this offseason with the guys. I've already been talking to some of the guys this past week last week. And I'm just trying to figure out a few things, but it'll get done. It'll get announced. And also on one of the days, we plan on doing a free youth camp for the kids in the area, whether we do it in Tacoma or we do it in Vancouver. We're trying to figure out which place we're going to do that, either Vancouver or Tacoma. So we'll come to decision, you know, here soon, and you guys will know, and it'll be a good time.
Absolutely, yeah. Anything, like I was saying, anything we can do to help that, love to do more of that stuff, getting the kids involved. And I think Nick, I think you'll agree too. I think last year was a big step. We talked about buzz in the market. You got to get the young kids in. Vernon, you know that. You were once a young kid, right, looking up to the pros. Good on you for thinking that way. That's awesome.
Yes, sir. Definitely, man. It's all about the next generation, man. I remember when I would go to those USC camps and I would see, you know, Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and those dudes, and they were just giving out gloves and how happy we were, man. And that's why, you know, I always do stuff for the kids, you know what I'm saying? Giving away towels. They're always asking for towels and wristbands after the game, stuff like that. So I know how happy I was. So, Yeah, man. Anything that got to do with the community this year and stuff like that, I'm ready to get involved in and have a good time and keep bringing those fans out. And the fans that don't really believe in me yet, it's all right, baby. I'm going to get you. We're going to have some fun with it. We're going to win.
What would be your message to the fans for why to come out and see the Vernon Adams Jr. offense with the BC Lions this year? You got all their weapons, obviously, but what would be your message to the fans?
Man, because it's going to be some exciting football, man. I'm going to play loose. I'm going to play fearless. I'm going to have fun, man. The last year, you know, I kind of felt like I had eyes behind me and stuff like that and over my shoulder and stuff, so I wasn't really playing how I wanted to. And then even in this past year with you guys at the end of the season, you know, I couldn't play free because I was still learning in offense as I was playing. Like I told you, they said, we didn't have time to learn all the stuff, all the details. You got to just know the concepts and you just know your reads. And so literally we would line up and I would look to one side and say, oh, Lucky's over there. Okay, they got that route. Oh, he's over there. They got that route. And now now it's only 2 seconds left on the game clock. And I'm like, sit up. And I'm doing all this on the fly. You know what I'm saying? But now I'll be able to learn from day one and it'll be much slower game for me. We're going to have fun. Exciting football, man. We're going to get it. It's going to be a good time.
Very well said. You're fired up. We're fired up. And we're ready to get this train rolling. 4 weeks from now is free agency. The off-season calendar definitely heating up. Listen, VA, I always appreciate the time, and we'll be doing more of this going forward. Look forward to it.
Yes, sir, man. Nick, Matt, thank you guys for having me, man. Lions fans, as Alex would say, let's ride.
There you go. Got it in. Love it.
Love it. Appreciate you, VA.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you guys.
Vernon Adams Jr., we appreciate VA, Big Play VA, taking the time to join us. And I'll say it again, he's a foxhole guy. That's a guy I want to be in a foxhole with if you're under pressure, under siege.
Yeah, I'm already excited for June, too, to see Vernon Adams Jr. in this offense. Like, you heard him say, you got the weapons, Lucky Whitehead, Dominique Grimes, Keon Hatcher. You just throw it up to those guys and good things will happen. So I'm already getting excited for the 2023 season here.
And we didn't really get into it with him, but I know for a fact he's probably excited to go to Montreal again this time. Remember, we made the trade and then right away went to Montreal. He didn't. I think he played one series that night. Because remember, Antonio Pipkin was the starter. And again, kind of getting accustomed to everything. He wasn't going to start. We knew he wasn't going to start. But it's funny. We land in Montreal and kind of my role as the media relations guy. You know, you take requests from the opposing market. More often than not, in today's world, you don't go to the stadium anymore. There's a media availability at the hotel. English, French, it was almost like a hockey scrum for the Montreal Canadiens. I remember saying to myself, man, this is like the Beatles coming to town or something, VA. So, if all goes according to plan, he will be behind center September 2nd, early September trip to Montreal. Love Montreal. Always love Montreal. Love Vernon Adams as well. Nathan Rourke, by the way, not the only recent CFL player to take advantage of an opportunity down south. Saw Jamal Peters with Atlanta. Tyrell Ford went to Green Bay, was it? So, again, speaks volumes of what the National Football League. I'll take a page out of Neil McAvoy's quote machine. It is the best league in the world, and when they take notice, that means you've done some good job with player development.
Yeah, it's always exciting to see guys live out their dream and get the NFL contract. And Tyrell Ford, he's a Canadian DB too.
Yeah.
So Nathan's not even the only Canadian that's going to go up to the NFL and get a tryout this offseason. So, and even Tyrell Ford, he started that final game that we went to Winnipeg. And Nathan, one of those shots he took downfield to Lucky Whitehead, Ford was step for step with him and broke it up. So he's a good player. That was eye-opening in my opinion to get stride for stride with Lucky and break that up. So he's a good player and rooting for all those guys to crack their rosters.
Yeah, big time. That was that was kind of almost like a glorified preseason game. Remember Nathan played the quarter. I think he had 16 offensive plays and it's like, okay, he's good. He'll be good next week. And both teams had their positions locked up. So Sticking, speaking of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, again, a lot has to happen here, okay? We have free agency. We have the Canadian Football League draft normally in the first week of May. We don't really know till that is, when that's going to be until the Stanley Cup playoff situation is determined, usually for television purposes, but we know it's going to be right before camp. A lot has to happen here, but again, I'm looking at this West Division, Nick. You know, have to be objective here when we can, but no reason to think the Winnipeg Blue Bombers aren't going to be the team to beat yet again. Now look at all those guys re-upping. Jackson Jeffcoat this week. See Stanley Bryant right around New Year's.
They got both their tackles back.
Both their tackles, yeah. Jamarcus Hardrick as well. And Adam Big Hill, again, still, you know, father time always wins, but not yet for a guy like Big Hill. They're keeping all their pieces there. And that's a credit to Mike O'Shea, who also re-upped himself. That was interesting. Mike O'Shea coaching without a contract beyond 2022. But I think that's just kind of the way they've done things there for the past couple of years. But they've built a culture there. And hey, and it's on us to knock them off their perch.
Yeah, continuity and culture have been the proven recipe for Winnipeg these past couple of seasons. And it's definitely a recipe that Rick Campbell and Neil McAvoy are trying to achieve as well here, too. So yeah, it's good to get your players back, if especially if they're really good players, and you always hope to retain as much as you can.
Get to go in there twice
in the summer. In the summer, yeah.
We talked about it when we broke down the schedule right before Christmas. Hamilton in mid-October. That's always gonna be dicey, windy in Hamilton, but weather-wise, hopefully we're okay until a possible return to Hamilton in November, because Prairie trips are out of the way. Calgary, we go just the once, I think. Yeah, Edmonton, we go twice, also the last time in September. So
I think Calgary's twice.
We go to Edmonton and Winnipeg twice.
You're right.
Yeah. Opposite of last year.
Yes. Easy to remember that way, actually.
There will be plenty of more CFL news to discuss, we're sure, in the coming weeks. But we want to kind of finish off this episode by taking a little dive into the world of sports in general. Interesting times in this market. The Vancouver Canucks, stop me if you've heard this before. And again, you can download Rinkwide, Sakaris and Price for some more in-depth analysis of the local hockey team. But we like to keep tabs on all the teams in town. But the Canucks, it appears as though they're on a downward trend now. And of course, the World Junior hype, everyone's all up in arms about possibly getting a draft lottery ball to bounce their way for Connor Bedard. But the hockey team is struggling. But you saw a hockey game when you were in Winnipeg, were you not? You saw the Mighty Jets. They're like at the top of the Western Conference. What's going on?
Yeah, and unfortunately, I did go to the Jets game, but they played the Wild, the Minnesota Wild. And I ironically saw the Minnesota Wild in Vancouver about 10, 14 days before, and the Wild shut out the Canucks.
Yeah.
Kind of a boring game. It was like a 3-0 game.
That was a Saturday night, right?
Yeah. The Wild just kind of dragged that clock along and shut them out. And then I go to Winnipeg to see Minnesota come in again. Almost the exact same thing. Winnipeg scored one goal, but it was the same. It was like a deja vu for me, where Minnesota just dragged it along, didn't give the Jets any opportunities. And yeah, so it was good getting back to Canada Life Center. It's a small arena, but it's a loud arena, even though wasn't much to cheer about that night, but yeah, good holiday activity.
Been over 10 years since the Jets returned. Where has the time gone?
Yeah, 2011,
2011-2012 season, was it?
Yeah.
Played 2 years in that old Southeast Division where the Thrashers, of course, were. That was kind of funny, but I guess they couldn't really do anything until there was realignment. Winnipeg, you know, we talked a lot about the Bomber fans. So Winnipeg Jets fans, just crazy. They loved their team.
Well, everywhere in
Canada. Love their team. Everywhere in Canada, but Winnipeg, there, it's, I don't know, it's quite a passionate barn.
Yeah. Well, so, coast to coast, too. Like, I watched a ton of World Juniors on the holidays.
Yeah.
That Halifax crowd. Oh, yeah. It looks super fun to be there.
Well, Stephen Chang, our content and communications associate, he went to a few of the Moncton games.
Yeah.
He went to university back there and went there to see some friends over the break, and they had some tickets to the Moncton pool, which was the U.S. and Finland were the top teams in there, and he said he saw 4 games and he loved it. Even that's a crazy thing about the World Juniors and the smaller Canadian cities. It's the you have to sell the non-Canada pool. Like over here, they had Victoria host that pool in 2019. They had Kamloops and Kelowna do some the the other time it was here, and they sold well. So you have to sort of count on that. But yeah, Steven said he loved it, and great time of year, a little World Juniors, a little college football, bowl games. And you also, I took you down there to see the 49ers in Seattle just after our last recording, I think it was. Thursday night, the Brock Purdy show was in full effect, and you got to see the 49ers clinch the NFC West in your first ever NFL game.
Yeah, the George Kittle show, too. He's 2 touchdowns God. That game.
Such a yak monster. It's just so fun to watch.
This will be a funny take just because, again, it was my first NFL game, but that field is so small.
You really notice
yeah.
it? Yeah.
Like the end zones, everything. It was just, everything was just like compacted. It almost seemed like a compressed. So a lot of people there though too. The size of the arena is big, and then the size mm-hmm. of the field is very small. So it was a really cool experience. It was a lot of fun to go down there. I know we had fun before the game too, just roaming around with the 49ers fans around in Seattle. So, and as a big 49ers fan, you got your wish.
Yes. Niners Cowboys coming up on Sunday. I'm not going to lie. That's going to be the most complete team the Niners face this year. I mean, full credit. You don't win 11 in a row if you're not good, but hasn't been a whole lot of juggernauts in there, and this will certainly be a test. And that's how it works. The farther you go in the playoffs, the tougher the tests are going to be. But I think the NFC, four teams left. The Giants, probably the big surprise of wild card weekend, and so they go into Philadelphia, and looking at these games, I'm biased. I think the four favorites win, but a couple of these might come down to the wire. You have the Giants and the Eagles. Philly beat New York twice, fairly recently, twice in the last 5 weeks of the season. So those division games, what we heard with the Niners and the Seahawks last week about how it's hard to beat a team three times. In this case, that theory was kind of flushed down the drain in the third quarter. But divisional weekend is always kind of the best weekend.
Oh, yeah. I think
look at last year.
The best four teams in the league are at home this weekend, too. So, like you said, the four home teams should win. Although, out of those road teams, I think Dallas is probably the best team. So, if there is any upset potential, just for that reason, it's nothing against the 49ers.
Not at all, yeah.
But Dallas, if they play like they did on Monday night in Tampa, like they can win against anybody almost.
Eagles, Niners, Cowboys, the three best teams in the conference all year.
Easily.
Like, if you're breaking it down, like, I know Philly kind of has stumbled their way at the end and almost lost the number one seed. The Niners have their win streak. Dallas had a couple. All these teams have had letdowns. I mean, Dallas let one slip in Jacksonville. They struggled with Houston, I think, at home.
Yeah.
So you remember at that time, okay, maybe Dallas doesn't belong here, but say what you want about Tampa Bay's record, but still, Tom Brady's still Tom Brady. Not the Tom Brady we're used to seeing, maybe, but you kind of hit on it when we were on our way down here to record. He didn't play bad.
No.
You know, he had a couple bad drops. Tampa Bay's defense could not stop a nosebleed.
Did you hear the Joe Buck and Troy Aikman talk about how he's never thrown a red zone pick since like 2019?
That's a 13-point swing.
Yeah, because Dallas scores,
because
right?
They come all the way down and score. It's 18-0 at the half. If Tampa Bay manages to not cough it up there, could be 12-7. Who knows what happens after, but...
Yeah, you talk about the ultimate swing, though, is that Ravens-Bengals game, and that's the difference between the CFL and the NFL. The CFL, you have that 1 yard to get that sneak in, and the NFL... Yeah, the Ravens on Cincinnati's 1 yard line, they turn the ball over via fumble, and Cincinnati takes it back for a touchdown, the winning touchdown. So
Buffalo and Cincinnati conceivably could have both lost.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And who would have thought you would have had Miami pegged as the biggest underdog of the week? Probably, I think they were from a line perspective. So, yeah, and now they're going to now maybe it's fitting, you know, with Damar Hamlin recovering and that whole scary situation, they're going to face each other in the divisional round in Buffalo this time, and the Bills and Bengals certainly proving that they're both vulnerable. I think Kansas City is obviously the clear favorite in the AFC. So, yeah, divisional weekend, going to do my very best to watch every game, but you know, being being a family guy, married guy, I kind of have to prioritize and say, okay, if I'm going to get 3.5 hours to watch Niners Cowboys on Sunday, might have to do some other things Saturday, but we shall see. Great time of year.
Yeah, I can't get enough football, so I'm watching 4 straight NFL games on the weekend.
Can't wait to. You're going 4 favorites this week?
Like straight up or against the spread? It's a big difference.
Yeah, spread.
Well, for those unaware, Kansas City and Philadelphia are both over a touchdown favorite in those games, and I think they both cover that. The other two, I'd like the Dogs to cover. I think they're going to be close games in the San Fran game and the Cincy game, too. Although Cincy's offensive line is very banged up.
Do respect to the Jaguars and Nathan Rourke, although he's not going to be there. Doug Peterson, Henry Burris, who, by the way, was another big reason that Nathan Rourke opted for Jacksonville. I think Kansas City pulls away early in the second half, and it's a double-digit, I think, double-digit win.
I'm with you.
I'm with you on the Eagles winning big, but I think that could be one where it's a 5-6 point game in the fourth quarter, and Jalen Hurts leads a long drive, and they pull away late. Again, third meeting in 7 weeks between those teams, and the Giants proved last week that they're worthy of being in this spot. So,
yeah, all fair points. Yeah,
I say the Bengals may escape there. I know they're down a couple of offensive linemen, but something about Buffalo, they just seem too Josh Allen reliant, and he's had the knack for giving away a few throws in key spots, and I don't know.
It's boomer bust with them, yeah. But if they're on, they could roll.
Shout out to our friends at PlayNow Sports, BCLC, gaming partner of the BC Lions. So divisional playoff weekend is upon us. Again, a few weeks away from free agency. Thanks to Vernon Adams Jr. for stopping by, and for you, the listener. Again, the podcast is at First and Now. I'm at BakesTakes84. He is at Nick_Kowalski. Any final words, closing thoughts?
Looking forward to the Vernon Adams Jr. Era here.
Oh, yeah. You always get fired up talking to that guy. I'm fired up right now. Back next week on First and Now.